We're back at seminary a few weeks ago, which reminded me of preaching class. It's probably hard to believe for some of you that I actually ever took a preaching class. But believe me, my professor would be shocked to see how far I have come. In that class, the apocryphal story was told of a years ago preacher at Princeton who would-be preacher in class who, you take on how to prepare, how to read the Bible, how to exegete the scripture, how to turn that into a meaningful message. And this young man said, you don't do any of that. You trust the Spirit. You merely on Sunday morning get up in the pulpit and you wait for the Spirit to come and you say what the Spirit tells you to say. Well, in preaching class, of course, what do? You get up and you preach. So his turn came to preach in front of his classmates, and he got up in class and stood there, and fainted, finally. And laying there in the pulpit, he came to, with his preaching professor, standing astride him, looking down, saying, next time you decide to wait on the Spirit, you wait on him in your dorm room, you write down what the Spirit says, and you bring it here and tell us. I've been waiting all week for the Spirit to give me something to say about the 6th chapter of John, which is one of the richest passages in all the Bible. Nothing particularly wise or appealing came to me, which I think clearly is a failing of mine, not the Spirit. But rather than offer you my failing today, I'd like to just tell you a story that I told a few years ago at a Thanksgiving service. It's based on the Gospel of Luke, so I'm switching Gospels on you. The 17th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, beginning with the 11th verse. So hear the word of God. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When Jesus saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and to give praise to God except this foreigner? Then Jesus said to him, get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. He walked in the door after the community Thanksgiving service on Tuesday night. He tossed his coat on the chair, went immediately to the refrigerator. He poured himself something cold to drink, sat down on the couch, remote control at hand. He idly turned the television on. Briefly, he reviewed the service. The music had been wonderful. All those choirs together, it sounded pretty fine. The 3 sermons were thought-provoking, too, he thought, although the one by the Presbyterian pastor was, to put it kindly, pedestrian. That sermon got off to a good enough start, he thought, with the Bible story about the 10 lepers healed by Jesus. Only one of them came back to say thank you, and then Jesus asked a rather haunting question, where are the other 9? Where are the other 9? And no one answered him, not even the preacher, sad to say. After the service, the cookies were quite good as usual, but still there was something missing. Actually, it was missing every year. It was the Thanksgiving part of the service that he didn't get. He liked the service because it brought the community together, and he liked hearing the community choir, and he liked the opportunities to support the food pantries. Now those folks, the folks who go to the pantry, they should be thankful, he thought. But he himself, he never thought much about being grateful. And the annual Thanksgiving worship service had never made him feel grateful either. He was, after all, a self-made man. His folks hadn't had much in the way of worldly goods, so everything he had gotten by his own hard work. He had studied hard in school. He paid most of his way through college. Out in the working world, nobody ever gave him a thing. He proved himself by producing better numbers than the next guy, and he had been rewarded for it. No one gave him any breaks, and he earned everything he had, including his family. He was a good husband, a good father. So he deserved the love that they had for him as well. Not to mention God, even. He knew he wasn't perfect, but who is? He deserved a good place in the kingdom of God, too, he was sure. He was a self-reliant, independent, self-made man. It was a little thing that did it. His wife picked up his coat off the chair, hung it up in a closet. He realized he had seen her do that 100, maybe 1,000 times. And suddenly there came to mind 12 other little acts of kindness repeated countless times over the years. The laundry finished, the gift for his mother picked out. And just the way she looked at him. Not the same way at the beginning when the romance burned brightly, but with a strong, quiet devotion. He started to feel something he hadn't felt in years. He looked away at the wall, brushing something away from his eyes, and his gaze fell upon a photograph of his parents. Now, they hadn't been able to provide much in the way of money, but suddenly he saw what they had given him, a work ethic, the genes for brains, and integrity, and a love that made his life possible in a way college tuition never could. To distract himself from this unaccustomed emotion, he looked at the glass of Pepsi in his hand, and he realized that smart as he was, he couldn't make Pepsi, or ice cream, or bread for that matter. He couldn't record a CD, build a car, or do any of 1,000 things that he wanted and needed done. Maybe he wasn't quite as independent as he thought. His life would be a lot less fulfilling, maybe even a lot harder, if he were truly on his own. Who would have thought that he could start to feel something like gratitude for the people who make Pepsi? But he did. He looked at the television, the news from overseas wasn't good. He saw a Filipino relief worker bringing water to some tiny isolated village that had suffered terribly from the typhoon. The scene cut to a U.S. naval officer loading a helicopter with relief supplies, perhaps for that same village. Closer to home, next came a story on the church network of homeless shelters that was open every night through the winter. All at once, he felt profoundly grateful for them, for the Filipino relief worker, for the U.S. naval officer, for those people that volunteer for the homeless shelters, all committed to serving a cause beyond themselves. Just thinking about them made him want to do something for a cause beyond himself, for someone beyond his own family, to make some small corner of the world a better place. It was a little thing again that ended it. His daughter, kissing him goodnight on the cheek, as she did each and every evening, he suddenly saw in a way that he had never seen it before that love, even the love of one's own daughter, always comes as a gift. He rose quickly from his chair, grabbed his coat off the hook, mumbled something to his wife about needing to pick up some milk for breakfast, and he stepped out the door into the night. It was foolish, he knew, but that didn't stop him. Back to the church he drove, through darkened streets and into an empty parking lot. He stepped out of the car, his face raked by a chill wind that somehow even that chill wind, not surprisingly, felt good. Good if for no other reason that it reminded him that he was alive. Alive, the greatest gift of all. He looked up at the church, dark against the night sky, the cross on the steeple silhouetted against the clouds, and then suddenly in the starlight. Something like a laugh escaped his lips. And then he heard a voice. His own voice, speaking silently up into that silent night. It's just me, Lord. Just me, one of the nine. One of the nine coming back to say, thanks. Pray with me. O Lord, may each one of us join the one who returned to Jesus to say, thank you. Thank you. Amen.